from the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois. This is the Closing Market Report. I'm Todd Gleason, off the road and back in the saddle, and glad to be here. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk with Mike Zuzulo. He's with Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting in Lafayette, Indiana. Dave Dickey will bring you the agricultural news for the day, and I'll have an update on non-land cost with farm management specialist at the U of I, Gary Schnittke. As we close out the half hour, we'll talk with Steve Hilberg, director of the Midwestern Regional Climate Center, about our weekend forecast. And it all happens right here on this Friday edition of the Closing Market Report. The Closing Market Report is a production of Illinois Public Media.
This stock and commodity report on Illinois Public Media is made possible with support from Bates Commodities in Normal, providing clients with the latest market information based on research by ADM Investor Services and other independent sources. Bates Commodities can be reached at 1-800-383-4647 or on the internet at batescom.net.
In Chicago on this Friday afternoon, futures finished like this. The nearby July wheat at 827 and three quarters. Of course, that's the harvest month, down 9 3/4. July hard red in Kansas City at 879 and a quarter, down 9 cents today. March corn at 648 and three quarters, up 6 1/4. May at 658, 6 1/2 higher. July at 662 and a quarter, 5 3/4 higher. September corn, $6.95, up 1 1/2. In December, the new crop harvest month at 571 and a quarter, up 0.75. January beans at $14.65, down 3 1/2. The March at 14.22 1/2, 6 1/2 higher. May at 14.31 1/4, up 5 3/4. July at 14.34 3/4, up 5 1/4. And November bean futures today at 13.23 1/4, up 10 3/4. March oat futures 3.92, down 4 1/2. January bean meal at 3.77, down 1.60. January bean oil at 56.70. down 60 cents on the afternoon. Mercantile exchange numbers. February live cattle at 109.37 1/2. Settlement price down 52 1/2 cents. January feeder cattle's futures at 125.60 were up 70. The March there at 127.30, up 40 cents per 100 pounds. And the February lean hog futures, $79.52 1/2, down 77 1/2 cents today. April lean hogs, $85.27 1/2, finished $1.02 1/2 cents lower on this Friday afternoon. You are listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a production of Illinois Public Media. Please do visit us on our website. The address is willag.org. That's willag.org. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. February crude oil futures $91.52 a barrel, a finish down, or rather up 12 cents at this hour. Ethanol at $2.34 2/10 cents, just about 0.8 cents lower. Natural gas at $4.49 1/2, up 8 1/2 cents. Heating oil or diesel fuel, $2.64 3/10 cents, 3 4/10 cents higher. And the gold futures on the afternoon at $1,360.40 an ounce, that is, down $26.50. The Dow Jones Industrial Average, 11,786, up about 55 points. The dollar at 79.16 is down 0.02 on the afternoon. The CRB Index at 333.06. is up 0.06 for the day. Here's what the weather forecast looks like as it comes from the National Weather Service. They say yet this afternoon, mostly cloudy in the Urbana-Champaign area. A high near 27 degrees, west-southwest winds at about 7 miles an hour. Tonight should show us some scattered flurries before midnight, mostly cloudy. A low around 23, west-southwest winds between 6 and 11 miles an hour, though gust as high as 15. And then tomorrow on Saturday, scattered flurries, mostly cloudy, a high near 30. West-northwest winds between 10 and 15. Saturday night, mostly cloudy, a low around 10 degrees. Northwest winds between 6 and 9. Sunday, mostly cloudy, a high near 20. Sunday night, mostly cloudy, a low of 16. And on Monday, Martin Luther King Day, a 40% chance of snow. Cloudy, a high near 30 degrees. Monday night, snow, cloudy, a low of 22. Tuesday, a chance of snow, mostly cloudy, and a high of 23. And then Tuesday night, mostly cloudy, and a low of just 1 degree. We'll talk more about the weather forecast when we get to the bottom of the hour, and we speak with Steve Hilberg from the Midwestern Regional Climate Center.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a Friday afternoon. Time to check out the agricultural futures markets. Along with us today by phone, of course, is Mike Zuzulo. He's a global commodity analytics and consulting in Lafayette, Indiana. Good afternoon to you, Mike.
Hey there, Todd.
It is a good afternoon. I'm glad to be back. Hey, you know, I want to take time while we have it to thank Dave Dickey for filling in for me for a whole bunch of shows. I've been on the road on and off for the past, I want to say, about 6 weeks. It's been since around November the 10th, and I've been out at least 25 days at that point. So my thanks to Dave Dickey for filling in. He didn't have to fill in for all of those days, but I've been gone a lot of days, and he did a great job while I was gone. I've been gone on and off for the last 7 days as well. I've watched the market, but not intently. We had the USDA report on Wednesday. They dropped that crop production number for corn and for soybeans. I think that second one surprised the market just a bit, too.
I think you're right, and I was going to say, I wondered why the gas prices kept going up these past few weeks, and I have you to thank for it, Todd.
I was traveling, and it was all driving.
That's right. Well, as far as the report goes, I suspect that the bean yield number and the corn yield number, along with the bean stocks number, were probably the three most bullish factors that the trade could sink their teeth into and price in and allow us to get up to substantially higher prices, over 50 cents higher on the week when it comes to the March corn, and you know, closing in on 60 cents higher for the week when it comes to March beans. I would say, though, that none of the numbers that were put out were outside the range of estimates. So I went back and I thought about it, what the report night, and I thought, why would the trade want to go ahead and move limit up when nothing was outside the range of estimates? And I think what I picked up from the trader sentiment after the report came out was that small crops get smaller, and I think that ties into today's trade as well, why the wheat had the dubious distinction of not only a double-digit loss today, but also a lower weekly close in the March contract, but also the corn and beans were able to turn back higher. And I think that goes back to the weather expectations, the forecast expectations going into this long weekend, are that we're going to get rains that a lot of areas had been missing in Argentina, but it's going to turn off hot and dry, and so therefore it's not going to be a pattern, a pattern change when it comes to the Argentine crop belt. And I think that promotes the idea of what the trade thought on the report day, is that the small crops get smaller.
As you look forward, we're halfway through the month of January. February will be the crop insurance setting month. That's a time when producers will be really thinking about what they ought to do with the marketplace. Prices are awfully high. Many will want to wait it out. I don't know what your recommendation about that might be, but maybe you can give us a little discussion on it, please.
You know, the report and the weather helped solidify the analysis and my recommendations to clients to keep on getting caught up on new crop bean hedges, because unless we don't see a weather pattern shift and it stays hot and dry, the corn's probably too far gone in Argentina to get help. However, the beans are still very able to come back around, and we've got a very good crop being grown in Brazil, from what we can find out. I think we also have hit some levels in terms of price levels where demand's starting to give way. Short-term, the market is still friendly, Todd. I think the short-term supply side keeps the market friendly, and there's not been any threatening issues with the outside markets here either. And I think the technicals, the outside markets, and the short-term supply issues would say we can still go higher here and fulfill some technical objectives to the upside, because we did close above for the week those old highs before the report, 634 in March corn. That was the old high, 1409 in March beans. That was the old high. Both closes today were above those levels. That would promote, technically speaking, another swing objective up. Now, that's the short-term side of it, and I think the short-term side of it works in pretty well with the 1980 time period, works well with the 2008 time period, even works well with the 1996 time period. That unless the wheat does not come back around next week and the wheat actually becomes a pull and a drag on the corn and beans, I think we're still in the mindset, and the trade is in the mindset of putting a high in early, maybe as early as March, and then we sit back and see exactly what we get planted in acres, what exactly the USDA gives us on the March 31st report, and then see what Mother Nature gives us as far as actual planting. So I'm still on track for hedging beans here, getting caught up to 50% sold, defending those sales with some new crop options, leaving the new crop corn alone until I see how the wheat acts next week.
How about on the livestock side now? We've had a pretty good rally in the livestock this week, actually. Live cattle up $3 in the nearby FABs. January's were up $4 for the week. Even
all
the hogs
time,
managed were up.
Yeah, and all-time highs in the live cattle and the fat cattle, too. And we're closing in on the $100 level in hogs that we got up to in 2008. I think hogs have become a weather market. Cattle have become a weather market in that Argentina's dryness and Australia's flooding have become bullish factors for the livestock. Our U.S. plains and the very cold temperatures and the problematic wheat areas of the hard red wheat belt also become a bullish fundamental when it comes to weather, and I think they're pricing that in. I would say, however, the monthly charts are about as overbought as they've been in about 2.5 years based upon my charts. So I'm a big fan of buying February hog and February cattle puts. I'm not a big fan of selling futures because it is, after all, a weather and supply market. I'm kind of taking the same path in terms of recommendations with the cattle and the hogs as I am with the grains. It's very hard, and I don't think it's wise to turn away these kind of profit levels, but do it in known cost, because if you're right and we get a substantial correction, whether it's fund-led or fundamentally led, if you get a substantial correction, I think the puts will work out pretty well.
And one other thing that Dave Dickey is going to tell us about in the news just a bit, and that I knew about but haven't followed because I was on the road, and I'm not sure that you will have followed it completely, but in Washington there are some rulemaking from the CFTC to limit speculative positions. What do you think of that?
Well, they're trying to curb trading, and I think this goes back to what you and I have talked about, you know, for the past couple months, especially when it comes to this time of the year. You can go higher on supply and weather, and you can go sharply higher, and in the short term it's friendly, but it's like I wrote in a note last night to clients, you're getting into more of a medium-term negative bias here. Not only do you have what CFTC is doing, you've got China raising their bank reserves. You've
right.
got London crude oil. The Brent crude oil is now $100 a barrel. I think it's hurting the global economy at this point. Even the Federal Reserve in their beige book said this week that the higher raw material prices are negatively impacting margins, and the higher costs can't be passed on because of the high unemployment. We're seeing this in India. We're seeing this in China. We're seeing this in Brazil. And you heard this week probably that China's canceled plans to import corn in 2011 for now due to high prices. Tunisia's got food price hikes to the point where they're rioting. So I think you're looking at a situation where in the medium term you are seeing the aggregate demand and commodity demand destruction coming. But like Dave and I talked about, this is a tough area because there's less export competition this year. I think it goes back to the profitability and trying to play your market in 2011 kind of like 2008, but also play it like 1988. And I think with a good risk management plan, you can do that.
Thank you so much for being with us.
Thanks, Todd. Have a great weekend, sir.
Hey, you too. That's Mike Zuzulo. He's with Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting out of Lafayette, Indiana. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report each and every Friday afternoon. Speaking of Dave Dickey, he's your director of ag programming here. And as long now with today's look at the agricultural news.
In agricultural news, U.S. futures regulators issued draft proposals to curb speculative trading in commodities over the objections of Wall Street groups that said the restrictions would harm markets. The CFTC voted 4-1 on Thursday to propose the curbs in more than two dozen commodities, including oil, corn, soybeans, and coffee, after delaying a scheduled vote on the proposal last month. The proposal is now open for a 60-day public comment period. A second vote by the commission is required before it is made final. Regulators want to limit positions across all trading venues, as well as positions for a given spot month or the month when a contract expires. The draft plan would set a cap on spot month positions to 25% of deliverable supply for a given commodity. School meals could get healthier, and schools might change the list of foods they buy as early as next fall under a proposed federal rule to update the nutrition standards for meals served through the National School Lunch and Breakfast Programs. The proposed meal requirements will raise standards for the first time in 15 years. The proposed changes to school meal standards, which would add more fruits, vegetables, whole grains, fat-free and low-fat milk to school meals, are based on recommendations released in October of 2009 by the National Academies Institute of Medicine. Schools would also be required to limit the levels of saturated fat, sodium, calories, and trans fats in meals. Treasury Secretary Timothy Geithner says the White House is considering some sort of revenue-neutral reform of the corporate tax system this year. Geithner said the administration wants to improve incentives for investing in the United States and make the tax code more competitive with those of other developed countries. European officials say they are planning a meeting of trade ministers from the European Union, the United States, Brazil, China, India, Japan, and Australia for later this month in Belgium. The meeting is expected to discuss preparations for negotiations aimed at achieving a breakthrough in the stalled Doha round of trade talks. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming for Illinois Public Media. That's public radio for the farming world. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Market Report and Commodity Week. A good one on tap for you this week. Dan Bossy of Ag Resource Company out of Chicago, Illinois, will be our guest. We'll record at 4:30 this evening. Post to our website at willag.org by about 6 o'clock. You can pick it up there under the Commodity Week tab. It will also run Monday during this program, the Closing Market Report, at 2:06 in the afternoon. Some places, tape delayed. Be sure you can catch it at that point if you don't get it over the weekend on a radio station or off of willag.org. Because, of course, Monday, the markets are closed in honor of Martin Luther King Jr.'s birthday. This is a Farm Doc podcast. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Gary Schnitke, ag economist at the U of I, has just released a new FEFO. That stands for Farm Economics Facts and Opinion. You can find it on the Farm Doc website at farmdoc.illinois.edu. The title of this one, Non-Land Costs Higher in 2011. Gary Schnitke, what have non-land costs done over the past several years?
Well, we're projecting non-land cost for corn to be close to $500 in 2011, and that's up about $60, $70 from the 2010 levels, but still a little bit below 2009 levels. And we're projecting cost higher in 2011 because of rising fertilizer prices.
So you divide this up as land cost and non-land cost. In a cash rent situation, what do those numbers look like?
All right. So if we have about $500 of non-land cost, and that would be every cost except land, fertilizer, chemicals, power, and overhead, all cost. To that, if it was cash rent, you'd add the cash rent to it. So $500. The cash rent's $230, you'd come up with $730 of total cost.
And tell me about how those break down, those non-land costs. What do you see and what have they been historically?
Yeah, well, the big one that's been moving up and down here recently, fertilizer cost. We've seen fertilizer cost move up and down, but in 2009, fertilizer cost totaled $185 per acre. That was high because of very high fertilizer prices that year. They went down to 110 in 2010, and we're expecting them to rise to about 140 or over $140 in 2011. And again, we're seeing fertilizer prices rise.
And for those who don't know, you can derive those from the Agricultural Marketing Service in the state of Illinois. When do they release the report, and what's it called?
It's called the Illinois Production Cost Report. It's released on Thursday, first and third week of the month. So the last report we had was from January 6th. On that date, the prices of anhydrous ammonia was $777 per ton, DAP was $672 a ton, and potash was $565 per ton. The report also lists fuel cost, lime cost, and it's called, again, the Illinois Production Cost Report, and it's available from Ag Marketing Service, USDA.
Can you take a look at the longer-run cost outlook?
We would expect cost to be rising into 2012, and the primary reason for that is all the raw materials used in production or in producing production items is going up. Crude oil has been on a steady path upwards. Last reading we had, it was $92 per barrel, and we're probably looking for that to go over $100 this year. Metals are increasing. All of that points to higher production costs moving into 2011 and 2012.
And then how would you summarize the whole of the FEFO?
Well, we're looking at higher cost, and we're still, you know, going to be, if prices stay where we're at currently and we have average yields, 2011 is going to be a profitable year, but we're now looking at break-even levels at $3.80 and $4 per bushel. So we do have to have at least high prices relative to historical averages to have profitable years in Illinois agriculture.
Thank you very much, Gary.
Thanks for having me.
Gary Schnitke, Farm Management Specialist from the University of Illinois, on this Farm Doc podcast. You can see what he has written in the FEFO at farmdoc.illinois.edu. I'm Todd Gleason.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
We are listening to the Closing Market Report on a Friday afternoon. It's time now to take a look at the cash grain market. Bruce Bostard with the Ludlow Co-op Elevator Company out of Ludlow, Illinois, is on the phone line this afternoon. Hi, Bruce.
Hello.
Now, tell me about basis after the big jump on Wednesday. Did it follow it up?
It hung in there remarkably well. We've seen some processor numbers back off by several cents. Some of the Decatur numbers backed off. Bloomington backed off. The export market, like our train values, are generally pretty steady. They've got a little weaker feel and doesn't feel like there's as much depth in there, but we really haven't seen our bids back off.
And so your bids are holding strong.
They're hanging in there pretty well. Paxton is 20 under on Jancorn, 17 under on February. I think I saw this morning that some of the Illinois River points were in the 30s under. A mixed bag there. SIF has backed off a little bit on some of these up days. Barge freight has been taking some higher days, too, with not surprisingly with the weather. So that's pushed down some river values.
Are you surprised by the strength of the demand even at these levels?
I am surprised at that, and I thought we might see more. What my concern has been is that with the farmer having sold a big chunk of old crop corn and soybeans, and the argument is always how much have they moved, but, you know, it feels like a lot as far as what's in store. There's very little bushels left in store. So the ownership, a lot of ownership has transferred and is hedged ownership now. So as far as old crop grows, a dime higher market doesn't buy you as much corn. It takes a basis move. Now, the flip side on that, a dime higher corn means, you know, a few million more dollars out the door for margin calls. So in some cases, that just gets some cash liquidation just to meet margin calls.
Thank you.
Thank you.
It's National Hot Pastrami Sandwich Day. On this day in agricultural history in 1784, the Continental Congress ratified the Treaty of Paris, officially establishing the independence of the new United States and establishing its borders. Signed in Paris on September 3rd of 1783, and negotiated for the U.S. by John Adams, Benjamin Franklin, and John Jay, the agreement between the American colonies and Great Britain ended the American Revolution. In 1861, David Wesson was born. An American chemist, he created Wesson oil early in the 20th century. He experimented with purifying cottonseed oil, developed a system in 1900 to make the pure oil palatable, and formed the Southern Oil Company to market it. Wesson worked from 1901 to 1911 on a process for hydrogenating cottonseed oil. Cottonseed oil was the first vegetable oil used in the U.S. In 1885, Benjamin Silliman Jr. died, an American chemist. His report on the potential uses of crude oil products gave impetus to plans for drilling the first producing oil well in the U.S. in Pennsylvania. He noted its potential use as a lubricant, and he found it capable of withstanding extremely high and low temperatures and able to keep its form after long use. And that's this day in agricultural history.
Support for the Closing Market Report comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
This is the Closing Market Report. It's a Friday afternoon. I'm Todd Gleason. On the phone line with us, Steve Hilberg. He's the director of the Midwestern Regional Climate Center, part of NOAA. Thanks for being with us this afternoon, Steve. How are you today?
I'm doing well, Todd. How are you?
I'm doing very well. Other than when I looked out, I saw some really cold temperatures next week. Why don't you start there and then back us up to the weekend?
All right. Well, yeah, it does look like we're not going to get out of this weather pattern anytime soon. Basically, pretty cold. East of the Mississippi River, and that's going to be reinforced next week. We'll have a weather system, strong cold front moving through here Monday and Tuesday. That likely will be accompanied by snow and maybe even some rain or mixed precipitation in southern Illinois. And then following that, some strong northerly and northwest winds, and that'll bring in some pretty cold air for the latter half of the week. So we're not going to be getting out of this anytime soon.
How low are the nighttime lows expected to be?
Well, that partly depends on the winds and the day, but as the center of the high pressure moves over, there's plenty of snow cover, and I don't expect to see a big change in that over the next few days. We'll keep the snow cover. So we could see sub-zero temperatures as the high moves over us towards the middle of next week, but we've already seen that one or two days here in December, but it doesn't look like this is going to be let's say a week of extremely cold weather, although we're not going to warm up a great deal either.
What's our weekend forecast look like?
Not too bad. Some light snow or flurries possible tomorrow, working their way southward, probably into in northern Illinois, Chicago area tonight into tomorrow morning, and then working their way a little bit south. But I don't think that's going to be too much of a problem. It could dust the roads a little bit, so there could be a few minor travel issues. But in general, generally cold, temperatures in the 20s during the day, and then in the teens at night. And then, of course, a little warming up just a bit on Monday ahead of this next system, and then turning sharply colder.
Anything else that you've been watching with interest you want to make sure we know about?
No, it looks like I'm just looking to see if this pattern ever breaks, but it doesn't look like it, at least not for the foreseeable future.
Thank you so much.
All right, Todd.
That is Steve Hilberg. He's the director of the Midwestern Regional Climate Center. They're funded in part by NOAA. He joins us from right here at the Illinois State Water Survey, which, of course, is on the south end of the University of Illinois campus. If you'd like to hear what Steve had to say again or any of our analysts during the Closing Market Report, the rest of our programming from Illinois Public Media that deals with agriculture, you can always pick that up off our website, willag.org. That's willag.org. And by about 6 o'clock this evening, we're post this week's edition of Commodity Week. This afternoon, we record, as usual, at 4:30. put it up on the website at WILLAG.org by 6. Our guest, Dan Bossi of Ag Resource Company. Commodity Week, it's our weekly look at what's been happening in the world of agriculture. You have a great afternoon. I'm Todd Gleason.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated in Lafayette, Indiana, Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities focuses on managing risk in today's complex and sophisticated commodities market. 866-837-9027.